Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live, Laugh, Larceny discusses true petty crimes that may be disturbing to some.
Or could be easy listening to all you psychopaths out there.
All stories are based on actual events. But details may vary.
Listener discretion is not advised.
Live.
Laugh.
Larceny.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Larceny. Getting 20 to life for taking the last piece of pizza at the party. This is Trevin.
And I'm Amanda. And wow, that actually is criminal.
I have that kind of party anxiety where if there is one piece left, and I think you see that in groups sometimes where everybody's just kind of watching it and like, who's going to take it? Who's going to be the asshole?
What? So do you always take it or what?
I just recently felt comfortable enough in who I am to take the last piece.
Oh, yeah.
But before then, it was always like, oh, last piece. You're cursed if you get it. So I'm not going to.
Damn. Maybe I'm an asshole because I've never really considered taking the last piece at a party before.
Well, I'll tell you, at Luke and Kat's housewarming party, I took the last piece. And then I watched a couple people show up late and they're like, man, I'm hungry.
And how'd you feel?
Only that one time. I was like, that's fine. All the other times I would have felt awful.
Oh, well, good for you, Trevin.
Thank you.
So what is your dreadful dilemma this week?
My dreadful dilemma has to do with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the one you think it's going to be.
Oh, no. Okay.
Because I just did that one on her. Quick update, she just pissed on our bed.
I know. You have a lot of animal issues happening.
She's not my dreadful dilemma. So lately we've been working on training Mabel to be better with cars.
Okay, uh-huh.
Because she just gets so triggered with cars. She will leap as hard as she can and fling herself back by the neck, by the collar, because basically it feels like she just wants to jump in front of a car.
It's right.
Wild. So we're working on her relationship with it. And Emily actually has been doing just really good job training her in general. She's got the little clicker. She's got the little cup thing that you put on your belt loop.
And wow, then, and animal trainer Emily.
Yes. And that's what my dreadful dilemma is training this dog, because Emily works from home a lot more than I ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And she is having a lot more one-on-one time with her. So sometimes I'll come home after a day of them having a couple bad training sessions and she's like, oh, we're just mad at each other. And I'm like, I'm just happy to see the little puppy. Like, I can't be mad at her. But then when we go out to take walks, Emily will just be drill sergeant.
Right. And you're just trying to watch the clouds go by?
Yeah, I'm just trying to be sweet and fun. And so we're working on this thing where she makes her sit at the door. We open the door. She doesn't rush the door.
Mm.
And then once we start to walk out, she comes out with
patience. You're teaching her patience.
We say stay. Yeah. We work on it. She's really good at it. But when I want to go out the door and we're going directly out, Emily will be like, no, we need to be consistent. We need to do the stay thing. For me now, it's like I don't go through all the hard work of trying to do it. I'm just here for the fun highlights of it, you know, basically like the dad in this situation.
Right. I'm drawing so many comparisons to an actual child. Okay. So what you're telling me is that Emily's going to want your child on a very consistent and healthy sleep schedule. And you're going to be like, but I want to go do this thing right now.
Something like that, maybe.
Okay.
But my thing is, training a dog is very interesting because you have to be so consistent and you're being kind of mentally abusive to try to bring them to doing what you want. It's like, oh, you can go outside, not like that, how I want you to go outside, like this, how I want you to go outside. And it's like, oh, you did what I wanted, but you didn't do it quite how I wanted. Redo. We used to just feed her when it was time to feed.
Yeah.
Now it's stop, shake, touch, do this, set it down, leave it. Now you can have it. Up until this moment, nothing has ever been like this before. It's like, wow, life is really starting to suck. Like, I can't imagine what it's like for her. I used to eat. Now I have to do 10 tricks before I can eat.
But think about the rest of her days. What is she doing? She is chilling. She is living the life. And honestly, another comparison to raising children, sometimes you have to put your foot down in order to keep them safe.
Right. But I feel like sometimes we put her in situations where it didn't need to be a conflict, but we made it one to teach her a lesson.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time with real kids, too. All the time.
Doesn't it feel wrong knowing that you fabricated a situation in which to test her instead of waiting for a natural one to come up?
I mean, I guess I don't ever fabricate a situation. I guess what I meant is that there are situations where when I really take a step back and look at them, who cares if she does this?
Mm-hmm.
But when I put together all the other things behind it, and then I think about future her would turn into if I didn't take a stand, then I'll do it. It's kind of what I meant.
Yeah, you're like, it's not about picking up a spatula. It's about where you're going to go to college in 12 years.
Exactly.
Okay, I get you.
But yeah, I see this happening again, maybe in your future.
I think you're probably right. But the dog thing is just so weird. And honestly, Emily can be a real harsh dictator with that dog.
Ooh.
And if I'm not doing good, she'll snap me in line too.
That's what I'm talking about, Emily.
Dog training Emily's scary.
I kind of want to see this. So I also have a dreadful dilemma this week. And I'm sure as my close friend, you already know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
But my family got hit with the wave of the stomach flu. I don't really know what it is. Like I was telling you earlier, I guess the norovirus or whatever is going around where we live. So my God, PSA, it was horrible. You guys, I haven't felt like such a pathetic adult in maybe my whole life. Like I was pretty down for the count. But the thing that really sucked was that I was building up this weekend. I was building it up forever how it was Mother's Day and my birthday and it's my time. And then I spent the whole time sick. So obviously that's gotta be my dreadful dilemma this week.
Yeah, I actually took Friday off so we could record.
I felt so bad. This is the second time this has happened.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Which is, God. It's fine. I took much needed R&R. But then, man, the saddest thing was that was your birthday night.
I know.
And you don't even know if it's going to be rescheduled now. It just may not happen.
I know. I mean, we still got to burn the firewood at some point, but I'm like, I don't know if I'll reschedule the party for that, you know?
Yeah.
But on a lighter and funnier note, I did want to tie something in with my dreadful dilemma this week and just kind of share a fun little thing with you all. So because it was just recently Mother's Day and my oldest daughter, Lila, is in preschool, she filled out one of these traditional sheets that kids fill out at school about their parents.
Oh, yeah.
There were some really funny responses, so I just wanted to read this to everyone. And then also, before I read these, you guys, I was very surprised at which answers are the truth and which are lies. Some of them don't even make sense, so I will clarify, okay?
Okay.
So, this says, My Mommy by Lila. My mom's name is Amanda. She is 14 years old. That's not a lie.
Hardly a day past 12.
My mom looks beautiful when we go to a birthday party. She's not wrong. I do like to dress up for a birthday party.
You like birthday dresses?
Yeah, I do. I do. So maybe that's why. My mom laughs when people do everything. Silly jokes.
Sorry, didn't want to interrupt you, but it was like, come on.
I know. She should have just said everything because that is accurate. But no, she said when people do silly jokes. Mm. Now, this one's not true. My mom's favorite drink, she put soda. First of all, I call it pop. Jordan calls it soda, and I don't even drink pop.
No, I usually see you drinking Gatorades when you come over.
I drink Gatorades, I drink tea, I drink water, yeah.
Winnie Palmer's?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what in the world? So that was weird.
Lila must not listen.
Yeah, she doesn't know me at all. Okay, a few more here. My mom is really good at balancing a ball on her nose.
Are you a seal?
No, that is another one that is completely fabricated. What in the hell? Could she not think of something that I was really good at? Or was she just trying to be funny? I don't know how to look into this, you guys.
What if she had like a really elaborate lie that she was really popular in school just because her mom can balance a ball on her nose?
She's like, bro, my mom is part seal. No lie.
It's like Susie's coming over tonight. Mom, you got to do it.
Oh my God. Now, this one is accurate, okay? Sometimes. Don't get it twisted. It only happens sometimes. But she said, when I am at school, my mom sleeps with the baby. Which I'm like, okay, sometimes.
What a boring and probably accurate thing.
The best thing she cooks is pancakes, rice, and noodles. All right, there's three more. My favorite thing to do with my mom is play hide and seek. That's true. Loves that game. If I could buy her a gift, I would buy her one of my toys. Which, that's another thing. Every year when it's come to like Christmas or birthday time or whatever, she always puts one of her current already existing toys in my stocking or like tries to re-gift me stuff. I'm like, kid, no.
Now, do you teach her a lesson by not giving it back to be like, this is what happens when you give a
gift? I'm like, yeah, one of those moments. I'm just like, you know what? I hate this toy, but I'm going to prove a point.
Yeah. No. You can never play with it again because you gave it away.
This is mommy's. And then the last one, I heart my mom more than snow. Apparently, her new favorite weather is snow. She's been talking about snow a lot lately and Christmas time already.
So less spooky, more Christmassy now?
I guess. I don't know. So I'm a seal and she likes the snow. So that's where we are.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that she's talking about the snow and stuff. We actually just went to Emily's nephew's birthday party in May, and it was a Grinch-themed birthday party.
No way, really?
Really.
Oh, is it just because it's his favorite movie?
Yeah, he just likes that name.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah, it felt weird, but hey.
It felt so wrong.
Because they were
so
all wearing Christmas pajamas for the party.
Oh, that is really weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, to each their own, whatever.
Hey, you like the Grinch? Like the Grinch. You would do it for your kid.
I would. I'd be like, okay, time to Grinch it up in the heat of May.
Ugh.
Yeah, not ideal, but I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trevin, are we on to a round of trivia?
Let's do some trivia.
I
want to
play a game.
Whoa, Trevin. We do not have the rights to say that.
Let's have a fun time.
All right, Trevin.
Yes.
I don't know why I tried to say that kind of intimidatingly to you. All right, Trevin, listen up. We've got some trivia.
I don't know where the answers are.
You better find out. Okay. Which of the following cult leaders was quoted in saying this? You know, a long time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy. Is it A, Marshall Applewhite from Heaven's Gate, B, Charles Manson from the Manson family, or C, Warren Jeffs from the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
I feel like it's not Applewhite, but then again, I can kind of see how Applewhite would have said that because he just said a lot of weird stuff all the time. It can't be Manson. There's no way. I'll just go with Applewhite.
Why can't it be Manson?
It's just too obvious if it's Manson.
It is. It's Manson.
Wow. It sounds like it's written straight from Hollywood movie or something.
Totally. Totally. So this quote was actually made in 1993 during an interview with Diane Sawyer. And let me tell you, I rewatched just that little clip because I was looking for really eerie. I don't know. I just wanted a quote. We haven't done something with a quote. Like, who said this, you know? Anyway, it was very eerie. It was after he had carved the swastika into his forehead and the way he said it. And it was like a dark black backdrop. I was just like, whoa, I don't like this one bit.
Yeah, a little dramatic there, Charles.
Yeah. You could definitely tell Diane Sawyer was very creeped out.
And the reason why I said it's so obvious, it just seems like the character of what Manson became known as would have been something that would have inspired somebody to say something like that. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like very Joker-esque.
Yeah. Oh my God. He is very Joker-esque.
But I guess you're telling me it wasn't a quote he had said leading up to like all that. It was while he had been in jail for like 20, 30
yes.
years. So.
Yes. He was incarcerated for a while at this point.
So
yes.
at that point, he was already taking on the Joker persona.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. yeah. You got to imagine, too. I mean, you're behind bars for that long and then you get this big interview. So he's probably trying. I don't know. I can't possibly get into this guy's head and don't want to. But I don't know. I wonder if it was just him trying to be dramatic.
It could have been. He was a real showy kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good idea, doing a quote thing. We haven't done
Thank
a quote
you.
Thing in quite some time.
Yeah. I was like, this will be fun. I'm just going to look up some creepy people's quotes.
Creepy people's quotes. So I've got one for you.
Okay.
And it's going to be a little history related.
Oh, hell. Okay.
So, after his invention of the wax cylinder, Thomas Edison used the new technology to invent the first version of what popular product? Is it A, the smoke detector, B, the FM radio, or C, talking baby dolls?
I don't know why my head just like jumped to the gutter, but when you said the silicone cylinders, I thought dildo was going to be an option.
No, the wax cylinder.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh my God. Okay. I really want it to be C. So I'm going to go with C.
And you're actually correct.
Nice.
I got to say, I don't think I did a really great job of coming up with tricky stuff because that one seemed so off the wall that it was either going to be I put it there as a joke
exactly.
or it was the real one.
Exactly.
I was having a hard time coming up with options on that. I'm coming to you from rd.com. For all of his successful inventions, Thomas Edison did experience a pretty major failure when he tried to create the first ever talking baby doll. In 1890, thanks to the development of the wax cylinder, he was able to produce a line of baby dolls. With wooden bodies, porcelain heads, and miniature phonographs in their chests, the dolls were unlike anything the world of toys had ever seen or heard. The phonographs played back recordings of young women reciting nursery rhymes like Hickory Dickory Dock and Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep.
Aww.
So apparently they're like really creepy.
Oh, really?
They say the old garbled technology and shrill voices and the dolls' eerie faces make them very creepy.
I mean, I could only imagine. That was a really long time ago.
But the failure was mainly due to the fact that the pieces were really easy to lose, the sound didn't last long, and it was really hard to understand because the wax cylinder was just this little thing that turns and they could somehow put sound into it. And the mini phonographs in the back were actually really easy to break.
Okay.
So like you wouldn't actually want to give this thing to a kid anyway. I have a picture of one for you without the clothes on.
Oh.
But you can just kind of see the body of it.
Ah! Oh my God. Wait, really? Let me see this. Why?
I mean, it just looks like a weird little robot.
I don't like it.
And if I can get this sound to work, I think I have a recording of it.
No.
Yeah, it sounds like, and it probably has to do with the technology, but it sounds like that woman is just screaming to be heard.
It sounds like she needs someone to come help her ASAP, but the only way she can communicate is through nursery rhymes for some reason.
And if I should die before I wake.
It's so haunting.
It is haunting.
That ain't right. That's like a spirit. From, I don't even know.
So
I
put that with your goofy visual of that creepy doll with that screaming shrill voice reciting nursery rhymes.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like back when I said aw, when you were describing it, I thought it was going to be a normal, peaceful, like the first lullaby toy or something.
Well, it sure tried.
I mean, there was effort, I guess.
It certainly is a thing.
Well, that was very creepy. But you know what isn't creepy, Trevin?
Products and services?
Exactly. Here's some ads.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. And I am going first this week.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a story from the news. But I did want to say that with this story today, I took a little inspo from three of my favorite shows. I wanted to give them all a little love, okay? So Vanderpump Rules, I've already talked about that.
Oh, great.
I am going to say, though, as we are recording today, the finale comes out tonight, Trevin. Tonight!
Shit. You got places to be, then.
Yeah. Another show, Desperate Housewives. That was one of my all-time favorites growing up. And a newer show that just recently had its final season, Working Moms.
Oh, Emily loves that show.
God, it's so good. So funny, so relatable, so damn good. But I just wanted to say each of these shows either inspired the subject matter of the crime that I chose, mm-hmm. or the writing style or the way that I told the story. I was really encompassing these as I wrote. So
that's crazy to have three different TV show inspirations in one story.
There's a lot going on up here, Trevin. It might not always seem like it, but there's a lot moving up there, okay?
Oh, my.
So here we go. When looking to buy a house, there are a few important features that may make a listing stand out. For example, new granite countertops, top school districts, and no recent murders in the home are sure to impress potential homebuyers.
I'm giving it my no-ghost guarantee.
But others may be looking to purchase property that tells its own story and has its own character. For these people, there are Instagram accounts like Zillow Gone Wild that have featured surprising houses for sale. Like one in Carlinville, Illinois, the four-bedroom, four-bathroom house hit the market for $169,000 in April of 2022. Featuring crisp beige walls and a man in a Michael Myers costume lurking in every single online image of the space. Or another property in Onalaska, Wisconsin, listed at $420,000 with four bedrooms and three baths, appearing to be a completely normal and bland property. The listing images enhanced the well-decorated home, with the kitchen featuring a sign that read, "The kitchen is for dancing," and a heartfelt, "This is us" sign above the television. But looking into the main bedroom suite, you know that these walls have seen some deviant behavior, as the sign above the king bed reads, "Welcome to Pound Town." The story I'll be sharing today is about a woman's property listing and the pettiness that promoted it all. A Canadian woman named Jane opened her eyes slowly to the sound of a doorbell and delicate knocking on March 9th of 2013. Her head was pounding, tummy grumbling, and memory was foggy as she looked around the room for context clues. Jane was in her house, but everything seemed taller. That's when it clicked that she had passed out on her living room floor last night. The living room then began to erupt with a noisy choir of snorers. Jane had forgotten her five best girlfriends had slept over, but what were they all doing in the living room? The doorbell and knocking continued as Jane tried to gather her thoughts. With her body finally catching up to her brain, she lethargically walked towards her front door. As she turned the knob and opened it, a bright pool of morning light poured inside, causing Jane to wince. But in front of the sun stood a sweet-looking old woman.
"Good morning, dear. I'm here for the Revenge estate sale,"
the old woman stated kindly. Jane chuckled to herself, tasting wine residue on her breath. The memories were all coming back to her now as she reflected back
one day earlier. Jane woke up like a normal person, in her bed, the morning before, full of positivity and possibility.
It's gonna be a great day.
But first, she needed to find out if her husband was a liar. Jane and her husband, Buck, had been married for 10 long years. Buck had never been the romantic type, and the couple's relationship became lackluster over time. Jane could deal with Buck's quick lovemaking and strange connection to his leather recliner.
She's a lazy boy.
What she couldn't handle is if she found out that Buck was an adulterer. Little red flags began waving as Jane noticed that Buck had started wearing deodorant again. She had even caught him taking a bathroom selfie earlier on that week.
Now that's one healthy bush.
It was almost as if Buck suddenly remembered he had an appearance to be aware of. All signs pointed to him cheating, but Jane needed proof. She wasn't normally the snooping type, but as her possible liar of a husband lay sleeping, she grabbed up his cell phone. As soon as she unlocked it, Jane immediately discovered inappropriate messages with another woman. The text messages confirmed that not only was he having an affair, but that he was going away with his mistress that very weekend.
So much for the boys' trip, Jane angrily whispered.
She hadn't decided what she wanted to do with Buck quite yet, so waking him was not ideal. After debating smothering Buck with his pillow or poisoning his cornflakes, Jane decided to take a more methodical form of revenge, with less murder. She faked a smile all morning as she watched Buck pack up for his weekend trip with his side chick, and waved goodbye as he drove away.
Bye, you huge piece of shit!
Jane yelled after him before going back inside and getting on her laptop. With the caps lock on, Jane began rapidly typing until her fingers turned numb. Once she was done, she stepped back and took a look at what she had written. Exhilarated and spiraling, Jane hit the post button to her Craigslist ad titled Lying Cheating Sale. She forwarded the ad to her girlfriends, asking them to hurry over and to bring lots and lots of wine. The rest of the night was a drunken blur, fueled by Pinot Grigio and vengeance. Jane recalled one of her friends cutting Buck's face out of all the family portraits in the hall, while another friend took Buck's toothbrush to the dirty toilet. She remembered bits and pieces of chanting as a group as they burned Buck's clothing in her driveway, and blowing up every single condom in the house into oddly shaped balloons. Flashbacks of laughter, tears, and chugging wine out of the bottle spun around in Jane's mind. And now, standing here in the bright morning light with an unfamiliar old woman in her doorway, she remembered her Craigslist ad. On March 8th of 2013, an unnamed woman from White Rock, a suburb in British Columbia, Canada, posted the following Craigslist ad.
Lying cheating sale, White Rock, BC. Last minute spontaneous estate sale. Husband left us for a piece of trash. Selling everything while he is gone this weekend with his floozy. Selling everything and moving house after 10 years of marriage. This is one huge ass estate sale. Way too many items to list everything. Everything from art, furniture, bookshelves, storage cabinets, household appliances, boys and girls clothing, electrical appliances, also selling his favorite red leather theater seating sofas. Lots of tools, which he didn't have a clue how to use. Table saw, supersize industrial ladder, tool cabinets, lawnmower, and yard tools too. Brand new sliding glass door that he never got installed is available too. I want the house empty on Monday when he returns, because that'll be a shock for him to see. So come pick out what you would like Saturday and Sunday at 8 a.m. Don't come too early, like he did. Because I will be thoroughly enjoying some wine with my girlfriends this evening, as we clean out all his stuff and will likely be nursing hangovers in the morning. So please, speak softly to the ladies wearing the sunglasses. There are not any of his clothes for sale, though, as we will have already burned those in the driveway. However, you can see the ashes of his clothes that he is going to see for no additional charge! Also, I am putting the house up for sale next week, too. So if you have always wanted to live in this beautiful city, you can look at the house this weekend before it hits the market. Two-story, ocean view, corner home next to schools, parks, and two blocks away from the ocean. Great home designed for fun and family with a separate entrance, downstairs suite. Life is too short to waste time. God put my eyes in the front of my head for a reason. I'm looking forward to moving forward. See you tomorrow at 8 a.m. First come, first served. The woman, an author of this iconic ad, declined to speak to a Vancouver province reporter who attended her estate sale. It was reported that there were multiple bargain hunters at the sale picking through the goods. Someone who did go on record was Vancouver Family Estates lawyer Laura Anyos. She told the province that funds raised from the sale could possibly be included in assets when divorce proceedings go to court. She explained that the court typically requires both sides to account for everything they have and then would decide who gets what from there. But alas, without any follow-ups anywhere online, I'm left to picture Jane in her brand new life and thriving. So if you're ever in the market to buy a house, there are a few important features to look for. New granite countertops, top school districts, and a co-owner who isn't a cheating scumbag. And to those experiencing buyer's remorse, don't fret. I hear there are always new homes for sale in Poundtown.
Can you tell me how to get to Poundtown?
You don't want to know how you get there, Trevin.
That was nice. It wasn't even a crime. It was just a petty story.
I know.
Haven't had that in a while.
We haven't. It was more of like a crime against humanity story. Mm-hmm. Haven't had one of those in a moment.
Ooh, I need to do one again. I love those.
Yes, it was crime against humanity. I did want to tie in a little bit of the legality. She probably could have gotten into trouble for doing it. And who knows what that looked like after all of that occurred. Mm-hmm. But technically, infidelity can be a crime in certain states, I know, in the U.S., and also selling people stuff without their knowledge probably could be as well.
But I wonder if that makes it tricky when you're a married couple.
I think it does.
It's kind of like you're throwing your own shit away.
Yeah.
I think you could argue that.
I think you can. So there was a lot of, meh, is that a crime? Meh, you know. But no, I wanted to do, with all the drama going on Vanderpump, I was like, I want to do
a cheating
revenge story. And then the way I was just picturing the story and the writing, I was just picturing myself on set with Desperate Housewives walking through the lovely neighborhood and then seeing these women burning this man's clothes in the driveway. And then on Working Moms, every single season, they have at least one episode where they just get so shit-faced, whether it's like drinking or drugs or what. And then they wake up and they have to piece it together like a hangover situation.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I wanted to do that.
Oh, okay.
So really, guys, the only thing I had was at the very end. I had the whole entire Craigslist ad, and then I had the actual reporter that went to the estate sale. He tried to get her on record. She wouldn't. But I mean, it was a real, real sale. It wasn't one of those fake stories that you sometimes see online, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you really didn't fabricate even like the fun plan she had with the girls.
No.
Since that was in that huge long post too.
Even at the beginning when I was like, she could overlook his quick lovemaking and his love for the recliner. Those were in the thing too. I tried to take every dig that she made at this man and make it into the story. But because she's unnamed, I can't give her a shout out.
So you had to be Jane.
Jane. And obviously I don't know his name either. So he was Buck. And halfway through my story, I called him Butch. So I hope that doesn't show up in the final cut, everyone.
We think we caught them all, but we'll see when I edit later. Butch.
Oh my God.
It's funny, when you very first said it, I was leaving a mental note for myself to be like, okay, ask Amanda about if Butch was the real name or not. And then after you said Buck again after, I was like, oh, wait a minute. She just...
No, just called him a Butch for no reason. But I have to say, I can't really fault her for being petty in this situation. I mean, it's better than hurting someone, right? Having a petty estate sale, I would say that's better than hurting someone.
Right. And honestly, I wish this woman would have said something, because I'd like to get to see the person behind the act.
Oh,
because
I know.
The post is very funny. Mm-hmm. And I imagine she's probably a real delight to live with.
Oh my God, I know. I know. When I read it, I was just laughing the whole time. Like, don't come too early, like he did. It's like, oh my God. Also, I'm very excited to hear this story after post-production, like I am always. But it was a very last minute decision to read the ad the way that I did, as like a infomercial person. But it was really fun.
Yeah, that was a fun creative decision to make there last second.
You really got to see that in Lifetime. I was like, should I read it angry? Should I just read it like me? And then randomly that came out.
Well, the wording was so good that it
was so good.
It was made to be.
It needed
not
more.
Angry.
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, Trevin, are we on to your story?
We are on to my story.
Do you think we'll have any connections that you can think of?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Okay.
So the story is from the news. Finally took that last week to do the big listener stories. And
yes.
You know I got to get back to some news, though.
The news is where it's at. It's funny, every time thinking that I was so afraid to do a news story, and now I just love them.
It's our comfort zone.
Yeah.
I mean, as you can see, we just did that last episode, and we're like, hey, we never do listener stories. Sorry. So this one is actually one that I recently just found.
Oh.
But I love it. So let's just jump into it, and we'll see if there's any connections.
Okay.
And here we go. Do you like a good game of cat and mouse? And I don't mean that weird children's game where you run in and out of a circle. I mean this more in a storytelling sense. Two different sides. One wants to catch the other, and the other would rather not. Through a string of near misses and cunning maneuvers, the mouse character continues to thwart the cat character.
I'll catch you one of these days!
These stories usually end with the two finally facing off, leaving the cat character to make the decision on whether or not they will actually catch the other. There are so many movies that fit this structure. No Country for Old Men, The Departed, Minority Report, and literally every single movie in the Jason Bourne franchise. Each one of these movies takes us on a wild ride, where one strong lead hunts and chases another strong lead opposite of them. Sometimes it's the police hunting a killer, a wrongfully accused convict eluding capture while proving their innocence.
I'm an innocent man.
Or a conflict between two parties where you don't have a morally superior character to root for.
I'm so confused.
It's a common story structure because it's entertaining and effective. It wasn't until I sat down to write this story that I realized how rare it is for us in the petty crime writing world to get a good cat and mouse story. With most petty crimes, they are usually one big ridiculous occurrence that makes headlines. Even in instances of someone causing a string of petty crimes, they aren't actively being investigated. We've had a couple, but it isn't common. Because of this, you can only imagine the delight I felt when coming across the cat and mouse story that I'll be telling you today. So tell David Webb, Jason Bourne, or whatever his name is, to look out, because there's a new mouse in town. Our story begins in one of the most extreme locations on Earth. A skate park in Idaho. At around 6 p.m. on a May evening, the kick flippers, the switch kickers, and the dick slippers were skating the line between being cool and starving. This was the time in the evening where the skating group of Timothy Chalamet lookalikes dispersed for an hour to find some food.
Bro, I'm hungry. Dead ass.
Bringing up the tail end of the line was Ollie, a young boy with big dreams of being a BMX bike rider. His determination was the cause of much extra practice, usually resulting in him being the last one leaving the park each night. As Ollie exited the gate of the park, he was stopped by a mysterious man. "Hey kid, that's a rather nice bike," the man said. "Would you be willing to sell it to me?" Ollie looked up at the man, who seemed shrouded in a mysterious shadowy presence. The only memorable feature was his Tyrannosaurus Rex t-shirt.
"Nah, man, I'm good,"
responded Ollie as he walked away from the man, pushing his bike. After Ollie stopped to check his phone, the man in the T-Rex shirt jumped onto the bike and pedaled away.
"Should've sold me that bike."
Ollie had no chance of catching his own bike on foot. Sometime later, Officer Duncan Funkman arrived on the scene to meet Ollie and his mom.
"It's a textbook bike boosting," Duncan said to his partner Ralph. "The only thing we have to go off of is that he's a white man in a T-Rex t-shirt."
"Sounds specific enough," said the very dismissive Ralph.
"You say that, Ralphie boy, but if there's some kind of Jurassic Park convention in town, we will have more white males and t-shirts than we will know what to do with,"
Duncan responded. Ralph began researching Idaho Jurassic Park conventions to check the likelihood of that happening. While the officers were investigating the scene, the T-Rex t-shirt man was riding his new BMX bike across town. He felt the wind blow on his face as he puffed out his chest with pride, showing off how nice his new bike was. But the moment of tranquility was quickly interrupted by a man on a Harley Davidson motorcycle. The T-Rex shirt man was furious. The guy had a way nicer bike than him, and it had a motor. He watched as the Harley got further and further away, until it flipped on its blinker and turned into a nearby grocery store. A bit later, the rider of the Harley came out of the store, groceries in hand, to find his bike had been stolen. He dropped his gallon of 2% after finding a rather nice BMX bike where his motorcycle once sat. As the rider's masculinity rerouted his tears from his eyes to his nipples, the man grunted angry savage grunts. A call came over the police radio while Funkman and Ralph interviewed Ollie's mom.
"Available units, we've got a report of a Harley Davidson stolen from the Winco Foods. Driver came out to find a rather nice BMX in its place."
"Oh shit," Funkman shouted over to Ralph.
"That's our man,"
Ralph wailed as they both ran to the squad car. Pulling up to the Winco Foods, the two officers met up with the Harley rider. During the statement, the owner of the motorcycle reminisced about how he and his bike used to love breaking traffic laws together, before giving one very important piece of information.
"I left the fuel cutoff switch on," the rider stated. "If the thief didn't catch that, they wouldn't have gotten far."
Officer Funkman put his hands on his hips and rotated in a circle, looking up at the sky.
"He could be anywhere,"
he stated in wonder. Meanwhile, directly across the street from the scene of the second crime sat the T-Rex t-shirt man and the rider's Harley. It had barely made it onto the road before the fuel cutoff killed the engine. Knowing he couldn't return back to the grocery store parking lot, he pushed the bike across the street and into the Planet Fitness parking lot. Instead of abandoning the stolen bike, the man stayed near, hoping to get it running properly again. Luckily, this was a shopping center, so the man had plenty of nearby businesses for his motorcycle fixing needs. But before he could even start fixing the Harley, he would need to fix his personal hunger. After all, he had been committing crimes since the start of dinner time. Without money, the T-Rex shirt man knew a foolproof way to get a tasty, free meal. He walked to the nearest Subway and started his plan.
"Good evening, and welcome to Subway,"
the girl behind the counter called out.
"Hey, I've always wanted to work for Subway. This is my favorite restaurant,"
shouted the T-Rex shirt man as he made his way behind the counter. The girl approached the man, hoping her presence would stop him from forcing his way back.
Do you have any applications back here? I'd love to be a part of the subway team.
He went on, as he started digging into the employee's back cabinets. The subway employee handed the T-Rex shirt man an application and asked him to get out from behind the counter.
Get out!
He complied, stopping to say one more thing.
I'm going to get this filled out ASAP, then I'll bring it right back.
But once the man had exited the restaurant entirely, his demeanor shifted. The meek, enthusiastic attitude he just showed the restaurant's employee had returned back to his usual mysterious ways.
Sucker,
he said to himself, throwing the subway application into the trash. He then hunched behind a dumpster, reached into his pants, and pulled out his big meat.
There you are, my salty darling,
the man said to his meat as he began to peel open its Subway branded wrapping. Slowly shoving pieces of ham into his mouth, he explained his master plan further.
You fell for the oldest trick in the book, Subway. The old look for an application but secretly put stolen meat in your pants trick,
he said before laughing to himself. As the man enjoyed his meat lunch, Funkman and Ralph received a call from Ollie's mother.
Hey, officer, I did some asking around the neighborhood. Everyone keeps giving me the same name. Jesse James Moore.
Oh my God, thank you, said Funkman.
Yeah, but why am I doing your job? I'm the victim, and I've got more leads than you,
the mother threw out. Funkman quickly grabbed a lemon head wrapper off his desk and started crinkling it over the phone speaker.
Sorry, I think I've hit a spot with bad reception,
he yelled over his own crinkling before hanging up his phone.
Put out a bolo for one Jesse James Moore, wanted for the theft of a BMX bike and a Harley Davidson,
Funkman demanded the dispatch worker. Dispatch put out the alert as their T-Rex shirt man finally found his name. As Funkman and Ralph patted each other's backs in a congratulatory fashion, the lead officer received another call.
Yo, policeman, it's me, the guy who had his Harley stolen earlier today. Yeah, I was doing some driving around nearby parking lots, and I found my Harley at the Planet Fitness across the street from the grocery store.
Great detective work, sir,
Funkman respectfully responded.
Thanks, but like, why am I the one that found the motorcycle? I told you that he wouldn't have gotten far. How come you didn't check all the nearby parking lots before going off to wherever you are? I'm the victim,
the man shouted. Officer Funkman began stumbling over himself as the Harley rider kept pointing out his biggest insecurities.
You really suck!
Needing to think fast, Officer Funkman began blowing frantically into his own phone.
Oh, sir, I'm sorry. I think I just randomly drove into a random Idahoan hurricane. I'm going to have to let you go for my own safety. Bye!
He shouted before hanging up yet another phone call. Ralph stared at his leader, anticipating what news came with the phone call. Funkman's intense stare began to break into a smile as he happily announced to Ralph,
Guess who just located the stolen Harley?
No way, Ralph replied. They don't call you the best that ever was for nothing.
The two then jumped into the air and gave each other a powerful, yet tender, high five. Together, the two officers met up with the Harley's owner as they waited for Jesse James Moore. Just before the victim could call out Funkman for not coming from a real hurricane, a white man in a T-Rex t-shirt walked by.
Jesse James Moore,
Officer Funkman called out, as the man quickly looked back and ran towards the subway. The two officers gave chase as they entered the sandwich restaurant. Everyone inside looked like statues, frozen from the shock of the first man running in. Everyone silently stared at the officers until the two employees raised their fingers and pointed at the women's restroom. Ralph tried opening the door to the women's room, finding that it was locked.
Jesse, we're going to need you to come out now,
Funkman yelled while knocking on the door.
There's nowhere else to go.
That's what you think,
Jesse shouted while standing on the toilet in one of the stalls. While the officers outside were yelling and attempting to unlock the door, Jesse had removed one of the ceiling tiles and was preparing his grand escape. He threw his shoes and his knife up into the ceiling before pulling himself up to join them. Looking around in the dark ceiling, Jesse decided what direction to go and crawled forward. As he slowly distributed his weight into his hands, the entire ceiling gave way, sending Jesse to the ground, hitting the stall walls on his way down.
"Get out of my way,"
the subway owner said to the officers, having just arrived. In one swift heave, the subway owner kicked the bathroom door open. There, in the first stall, lay Jesse James Moore, covered in broken pieces of ceiling. Even after being caught, Jesse refused to come out, leading to the police officers pulling him out from under the walls. In May of 2021, Idaho Falls man Jesse James Moore attempted to elude the police by hiding in a women's restroom of a subway. As the officers attempted to enter, Moore climbed into the ceiling, where it immediately collapsed. Moore had been wanted for two other crimes that same day, starting with the stealing of a child's BMX bike and then stealing a man's motorcycle. The perp and the stolen motorcycle were later discovered across the street from where the second crime took place, due to the fuel shutoff valve being on. After Moore fell from the collapsed ceiling, officers got in, where they pulled him out from under the stall wall. As they pulled the man out of the restroom, employees immediately recognized Moore as the strange man who had jumped behind their counter to look for an application earlier in the evening. After hearing this news, officers frisked him, where they found stolen Subway ham on his person. Moore was charged with felony grand theft for the motorcycle and misdemeanor petty theft for the bicycle, according to the charging documents. He was also charged with misdemeanor malicious injury to property for the damage done to the restaurant, as well as another count of petty theft for the ham. Now you see why I called this the perfect cat and mouse petty crime story. And wasn't it cool how the first was a bicycle and the second was a motorcycle? It almost seemed like he was on a mission to commit a string of cycle-based crimes. What could have been next? A unicycle? A tricycle? Maybe he steals someone's recycle-ing? We can cut that out. Oh wait, I wrote this shit. As rare as this structure is for us in the petty crime field, I love any chance I get at telling a good cat and mouse story. So until the next one, be sly, be cunning, and always play the role of the cat.
Meow. How funny is it that you just said that and now Boots is just up on my lap like a big old boa?
Yeah, he's a big lover guy.
Oh my God, what a crazy story. So was this guy just having like an off day? Did any of the articles say anything about his criminal history?
No, and surprisingly, there aren't that many articles on this. They don't have that much information on it.
What a weird journey.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to be on. And it really did play out like that in the articles. It was just like, as the cops are investigating this, they found out I did this. As they're investigating this, they found out this. And it was true, and that's why I called it out in the weird way that I did, but the mom who got robbed first had called them to tell them she thinks this is the name of the guy.
Wow.
And then later, the motorcycle guy had called them to tell them that he found his own motorcycle.
Oh my God, I thought that that whole thing was just a fun little side story you were just running with.
Yeah, I mean, they probably didn't call him out for it.
Right.
But
right.
It is funny how twice in the same day, in the same investigation, it's like, well, luckily the police found this out from somebody else.
Yeah, seriously. Kind of embarrassing that that's like documented in the articles too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times when we get these petty crimes, obviously, there's not a lot of information in general, but usually they wouldn't say who discovered what, but the, like it's specifically in there. That's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, it said they received a call from the mother who said people were giving her this name as a possibility.
Yeah.
So.
And so was the man really wearing a T-Rex on his T-shirt? So there's a picture of him?
No, there's no pictures.
Damn it!
Well, I think there's a picture, but it's a mugshot and I don't think it shows the front of the shirt.
Okay.
So if that is the shirt that's in the story, I don't think it showed.
Okay.
So there was
But the articles did say he was wearing a T-Rex on his shirt. How random.
Because that was the only thing the boy remembered. He was like, he wore a T-Rex on his T-shirt.
Yeah, I would recall that as well.
Yep. And then the subway people said it too. The only people who never saw him was the motorcycle guy.
Well, I mean, that's another tip. If you're going to do a petty crime, maybe don't wear a dino tee.
Yeah, not a very easy to pick out T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also, the whole joke of the article when I first found it was just, oh, man falls through ceiling of women's restroom at Subway. But then when you read it, it's like, he had two other things he did that day. It's like,
right.
How's nobody not like
telling this whole caper.
I know.
It's crazy. And he had ham in his pants.
The ham part that killed me.
Yeah, it's like, there's a reason why I'm doing this weird side thing. I'm trying to explain the fact that this dude, and that's what they said he did it. He jumped back there looking for an applications, and then next thing they know, the ham's gone.
What in the hell? I mean, that has to take at least a tiny bit of skill. I'm not saying it's a great skill to have, but if you can go in asking for a job interview and leave with a pants full of ham, you're doing something to fool someone.
Yeah, you are a sneaky ham man.
Oh my God. Okay, well, that is just really, really bizarre. I love how you seem to find these, like the pizza thief guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the pizza is like trailing him around. And it's like a chain of all these weird little crimes.
Yeah, when I did the cat and mouse thing, the pizza one was the only other cat and mouse story I could think of.
I'm like, how are you finding these? That's wild.
Just lucky.
I know. We have to do some weird things. I know I do, to get to these stories for you all.
Yeah, I have to do weird favors to get these crime stories.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, just be happy with what you get.
I'm not going to lie. I did not find a connection in the traditional way, but I did notice, and I don't know if you did this intentionally, you did a ton of callbacks, like maybe without even thinking about it.
To our show or within the story?
Like talking about past petty crime stories we've covered. So for example, you talked about the man going in the store and getting 2% gallon of milk.
Oh, yes.
And then you talked about Planet Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about falling through the ceiling tiles.
Yeah.
And I did it too. I did this one kind of on purpose, and it's not even a factual part of the crime. But when the wife had found the stuff on the cell phone and she was debating what she wanted to do, poisoning his cornflakes was one of the options.
Pissing in the cornflakes.
Yeah. So I did a callback intentionally to your story of that, but I didn't know if you realized just how many things you said.
The Planet Fitness one wasn't on purpose because that's where he actually was.
Totally.
But when I was writing the story, I was like, wow, we already talked about Planet Fitness.
Yeah. No real connections between the two. This might have to be another one that the listeners send us a DM about.
Yeah, let us know.
But I just thought it was really funny. I just kept hearing him left and right. I was like, But as the show goes on, I'm sure that's going to just keep on happening.
Yeah, the more content we make, the more times we'll say, we talked about that once.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just being self-referential with our old works is fun. I like TV shows that do that, so
yeah,
I try to do it too.
I like to do it too. So before we sign off, I just wanted to say that we've already gotten a few messages from our listener-only stories that people are loving it, and they've heard it, and that is great. So just keep sending us your petty crime stories. And I know I personally would love to do another episode like that. It was honestly really, really fun.
Yeah, and then the final product of it turned out really nice.
Yeah.
At the time when we were doing it, we weren't really sure, but after it was done, it's very dense. I mean, to keep that right in an hour and to have four stories is nuts.
Oh, I have no idea how you even did that, because we were recording for quite some time, if I remember.
Yeah, I was up till 2:30 on Monday night getting it done.
Oh, God, guys. So on top of all the favors we got to do, Trevin has to stay up till 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not okay over here. But I hope everyone is having an awesome week. And just remember, no matter the crime, big or small, in the end, we're all doomed.
Doomed to cuddle creepy old Thomas Edison baby dolls.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for coming to our weird revenge estate sale. And next time you come, bring a friend, won't you?
And if you have any fun or cool tips on how to gaslight your dog into doing what you want, why don't you follow us on social media? Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, or Twitter. Live, laugh, larceny.
And if you have ever shoved ham down your pants, please send us your petty crime story. livelaughlarceny@gmail.com.
And if you want to fill out a preschool-style about Live, Laugh, Larceny sheet and post it as a 5-star review, I ain't gonna stop you. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, or wherever you review podcasts. No way!
No!
Ralph,
you're glitching again.
I know.
That was a pretty big glitch.
Yeah, it was literally a repeat.
It was like...